A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hey, what's happening, Rush Nation? Waiting on Stocks. Hopefully he'll join at some point, but I thought, you know, we're 20 past the hour. Let's get started. I'm just going to share this on the channels to let people know that we have kickstarted. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us. It is week 4 coming up. The season is just going really, really quickly. Like, you think about it, that after this week, we're going into midweek, we'll be almost a quarter of a way through the regular season, which is just mad, really, when you think about it, that we're nearly getting to that point where we're nearly a quarter of a way through the season. So appreciate you tuning in. If you've got questions, do feel free to fire some as we go through. But yeah, I just thought I'd kick us off. First of all, thanks for tuning in. And then on top of that, do like and subscribe. We're live on YouTube. You can watch all the videos on YouTube, so do check us out there. And then also feel free to leave us a review. They really are helpful. Had a couple through, so really appreciate that. Please do leave us a review. It just helps us get noticed, helps us get visible. It's also a milestone show, 750 episodes of Five Yard Rush, which is just bonkers, really. Can't quite believe it myself that we've got that far. So thank you if you've been with us the whole way. If this is your first show, welcome. Sorry, battling a bit of a cold. Yeah, really appreciate you joining in. Also, just to let you know, the show is brought to you by Manscaped. Really fortunate to have them sponsoring us. They have incredible products. Talked about the beard trimmer, but they also have the lawnmower, which is an excellent product. So, you know, look after yourselves, groom yourselves, get the best grooming kit out there at manscaped.com. or manscaped.co.uk. Free international shipping. Use the code 5YARD for free international shipping and 20% off. Take my word for it. Brilliant products. So please do check them out and do get yourself purchasing some amazing products by Manscaped. So I thought what we'd do, last couple of flagships, we've had some guests and we've stayed a little bit away from fantasy. We've talked about some more interesting things in terms of commissioning in fantasy leagues. And then last week we had Ben on and I wanted to get him on to talk about his book, because I think it's a very topical thing, the NFL UK community, and timing well with the games and everything going on. So, but this week we are going to revert back to a normal schedule. So really, the purpose of this is to react to week 3, what happened in week 3, some things that surprised us, or in this case me, also then sort of some main learnings, and then some trends. So going through some of the trends that I've gone through the week and thought, these are interesting things to pick out and to either pay attention to or call out as an anomaly or whatever it might be. So any questions, please just pop them through. I can't see questions of people that are watching this on X or Twitter or Elon Musk's playground or whatever this is. So pop over to YouTube or Facebook, and they're the places where you can definitely ask those questions. And I'll get to them as we go through. So we'll start with the reaction to week three. The things that surprised me in week three, we knew that there were some quarterback changes in Indianapolis and then also in Carolina this week due to injuries to two rookies, Anthony Richardson, a concussion, and Bryce Young. We know we're going to be out for a couple of weeks. I knew there would be more increased target volume, but I didn't think we would see those teams throw as much as they did. Carolina threw the ball 58 times on Sunday, which was absolutely mad. So the first two trends are kind of things that surprised me. Was one, with Carolina throwing the ball 58 times, 57 of them to a receiver target. To see the fact that Thielen had 14 targets and Chark had 11 targets, just didn't see that coming. I thought there'd be an increase in volume, but I didn't think you'd see that. That is, you know, this is a team that threw the ball 31 times or to receivers. So there was, we're not counting the times that the ball's thrown just out of play. 31 recognized targets to a receiver, and that could be a running back, tight end, or a wide receiver in week one. 31 in week two, so the same, didn't change. And jumped all the way up to 57 of the 58 attempts were to a nominated receiver. That's huge. Like, that's just massive. A huge increase. Didn't see that coming. So to see that target increase. And then the same, I thought, again, there'd be some increase in volume from Gardner Minshew. But I didn't see Josh Downs getting 12 targets at the weekend. So there were two things that completely really shocked me. Thought there'd be increases in passing. Didn't see that kind of volume for that. And Josh Downs. And the reason I call it out here, and they're surprising, is they're also enigmas. Don't react to these. So maybe this week with Dalton playing, Thielen and Chark might be a borderline play. They might be streamable. They might be flex plays. Past this week, they're probably not. So we expect that volume when Bryce Young comes back. Bryce Young's a future, so they will play Bryce Young. They're 0-3. They're not going to go to the playoffs. So they are going to stick with Bryce Young. They're not going to play Andy Dalton the rest of the season. So the volume's going to drop off again. And when it does, those players will become less fantasy relevant. So cash in on the week. Don't spend too much fab. Don't trade for them. It's a one-off. Josh Downs, one to keep an eye on. He's a rookie, but again, that passing volume is going to go way down. He was the one that benefited the most from the increase in pass volume. When that decreases, it's still going to be Michael Pittman, still going to be Zach Moss, and still not going to be anyone else. So just, they were surprises, but I just thought I'd call that out as well. And then the Devon A-Chain, as we're now having to call him, Devon A-Chain, his usage was off the charts. So this is a guy, it was a healthy scratch in week one. He scored 0.8 fantasy points in week two. He was the RB84, I believe, or 86 coming into this week or week three. And then all of a sudden posts a 200 plus yard, four touchdown game. No one saw that coming. Massive shock. It was a massive shock to me that he got that kind of usage. And I'll call out a bit more of his usage later on, but I will say that that really surprised me that we saw that kind of volume. I see a lot of people overreact to it in the sense of with Fab. I talked about this on Monday's show. I do think it's an overreaction. I wouldn't have put all my Fab in on them. I've seen some leagues where that was definitely something that happened. I don't think that's something I would do. And I express the fact you've got Mostert there, who it's not like he had a bad game and was replaced. And it's not like he got injured. And then you've got Jeff Wilson coming back in a little over a week. So it just, he's definitely arrived. He's definitely going to have a role. Is that role going to be huge? I mean, he's currently the RB5, RB6. Yeah, I don't think he's going to stay there. I think he's an RB3-ish rest of the season. So I don't know if that was worth banking the Fab. He might end up coming through, and I could be wrong. But right now, I'm not so sure. The one thing that was also interesting that will change this week is Jalen Waddle will be back. I don't think they're going to run the ball as much. I talked about this on the Patreon cast, and you can subscribe to us on Patreon for as little as £1 a month, and you get access to the Patreon cast. I go through every game. I go through every trend of every game. I talk about what I think is interesting. I talk about usage. I talk about upward trends and downward trends. And I talk a little bit about the Miami situation and what they potentially did this week. So that's my sort of thoughts on Achan, as we're now calling him. Obviously, shocking to see that kind of usage. It's good, but I don't think you're going to see it necessarily again. So then moving on to main learnings this week. And this is something I've talked about a few times. I've talked about it in the books. I've talked about it on shows. I've talked about it this season. And it's roster management is so crucial. Now, if you're playing in a league that is a short roster, a short bench, you have a lot more flexibility on the waiver wire to do things, but then also you have a much smaller bench to control things. So I've talked about this a fair bit. So I also think it's important to talk about the state of play. If you took an elite quarterback, you don't need to have an extra quarterback on your bench. You just pick up one for the bye week, cut whoever's on your bench you can cut, you move on. The same goes for a tight end. There is no point in having a spare tight end on your bench. It's just pointless, especially with how bad the tight end position is, where 50, 60 yards is getting you in the top eight every week. It's not worth having a spare tight end because there's so many guys that can potentially do that. And it's such a fluid position. So you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a tight end on your bench. So if you have a bench of 5, 6, 7 spots, at this point, I would be looking to get as many running backs out there that I could think of. And I think that's what's really important is right now we're seeing running backs go, but we're also seeing that running backs are a premium. We get to a level with wide receivers that a lot of the wide receivers are a bit of a much of a muchness that are now left in your leagues. It's fine to have them, and you're going to have some wide receivers on your bench that you drafted that are better than what's on the better than waivers, and that's fine. So if you've got, for example, Nico Collins. Nico Collins is probably going to be better than what's on your bench, what's on your waiver. So fine, you keep Nico Collins. That's a spot you keep. Excuse me. However, you need to be stacking your bench with running backs. Now, I talked about Jerome Ford as a waiver wire pickup before he got injured. And then he got injured. And we're seeing consistent injuries in the league at the running back position. We've seen this trend for the last 3 or 4 years, and we're seeing it this year. And when that's the case, you need to think about getting ahead, especially if you're in leagues where there's fab, because, or in fact, even in any leagues when it's just a standard waiver claim, because if you're 3-0, you're not going to get these players. And then that evens the competition out. So, you know, imagine if you were 2-0 last week, you were trying to get Jerome Ford, no chance of getting him. It just wasn't going to happen. So now we need to think about who is the biggest beneficiaries to an injury. And I hate using that terminology, but unfortunately, we're playing a game where injuries do happen, that there is going to be somebody who benefits from an injury. Whether we, you know, and I'm not saying we wish for an injury. I've talked about this with Ben last week. Not wishing for injuries. I don't want there to be an injury. I'd like things to remain the same. However, injuries do happen. Playing a game, we're thinking about what happens if there is an injury and how do you prepare for that in a game. So the players that I think, and I'm looking at waivers that you can still get potentially in leagues, my number one running back ad, and if he's available in your league, get him tonight. Or tomorrow, is Dowdle of Dallas. He is the guy. Rico Dowdle is the guy I think has the most standalone handcuff value of any running back that's available in the majority of leagues. So Tony Pollard's usage has been off the charts. He's had a phenomenal season so far. Not all of that is his talent. A lot of it is his usage as well. So Rico Dowdle, for me, if something happened to Tony Pollard tomorrow or Sunday, Rico Dowdle, for me, is probably the biggest beneficiary of any running back in the NFL should there be another injury. So, and also, he's got talent. He's already demonstrated that he has significant talent. He's the only other running back that is getting any kind of snaps in that Dallas offense. So, Rico Dowdle is the guy I would go and grab. I'd go grab him now while you can, if he's available in your league. If he's not, I would say trade for him. That might be quite difficult because you probably have to give up something. But it depends what you have to give up to get him. But have a conversation, see what it does. Elijah Mitchell was next. Again, pretty self-explanatory. If Christian McCaffrey went down, and you know he has had injuries the last couple of years, so that is something that can definitely happen. Then if it does, the next beneficiary is Elijah Mitchell. We're seeing that with usage. So these are guys that you wouldn't play week to week, but these are guys you need to have on your bench. And this is why, you know, a lot of people had Devon Achan on their benches and kept him. People had Jerome Ford on their benches. This is how you can get an edge in fantasy football, is having these guys on your bench. They never make it to waivers, and therefore nobody else can take them. Other players that I'd be looking at, Chuba Hubbard. I think especially when we revert back to Bryce Young, they'll run the ball more. If something was to happen to Miles Sanders, Chuba Hubbard would be a significant role and significantly worth playing. Sean Tucker, although Tampa are very bad at running the football, Rashad White, despite the fact he's leading the league in rushing yards under expected, is pretty much exclusive in that role. Sean Tucker's getting a few touches here and there. There isn't another show in town in terms of running backs. Therefore, if something was to happen to White, it would almost exclusively go to Tucker. But there's also this flip side of, well, Rashad White isn't really running brilliantly at the moment. And I don't know if it's the system. I don't know. I'm watching the game. I can't really tell. There is talent in there, but he's not breaking tackles. He's not getting as many yards as he should be. And that is a fact. So if he's not getting the yards he's expected, at some point, the offensive coordinator might go to a two-headed back. They might switch completely. So Sean Tucker, for me, looks like an opportunity to go and benefit from, if there's even not even an injury, just there could be a change in that situation. So that's another one I'd be looking at. There's Matt Breida at the moment. Does he play Sunday? Does Saquon play on Sunday? Saquon's questionable. We'll know a little bit more, hopefully, by Tuesday. He's playing Monday Night Football. Are we going to know more? Hopefully, we'll know more by Sunday about Saquon's status. I don't think Matt Breida is a great option, but he's better than a no option. So he's on that list. Zach Charbonnet, I do think he's owned in 40% of leagues. So this one might be a bit wild. But I expect Charbonnet to be dropped over the next couple of weeks because he's not getting the usage that I think people expected, especially myself. I sat here and thought that Seattle would run a two-back committee that would be almost 50-50. And it's not. Kenneth Walker is running away with the show, really. But Charbonnet's usage is ticking up slightly. I do think they will revert more to a 50-50, not maybe a 55-45 role, maybe even a 60-40 role. Charbonnet will have value. Kenneth Walker, again, is a player. I know it's only second year, but he had injuries last year. He had injury problems in preseason as well. If that continues, Charbonnet will be the beneficiary. So if he's available, I'd be getting him. These are some running backs that they shouldn't be unowned, is what I'm saying. If Zeke Elliott's available in your league, he's got good standalone usage right now. That will only increase if something happens to Ramondre Stevens. These are the backs that need to be owned. They need to be owned. And they will how you will get, that's how you will get an edge. So I think for me, having those backs are going to, and not allowing the competition in your league to have them or even have an opportunity to get them, is how you get an edge. So if you've got a bench of six spots, for example, I personally think that you should have at least three, probably even four of those spots should be running backs right now. I think when you get to the bye weeks, then you need to revert that and probably have to cut your losses if nothing's materialized from there, because you're going to need to have rotational players coming in, and that's different. But I think for now, when you don't have that, I'd be taking advantage of not having to have an extra quarterback, not having to have an extra tight end, and go ahead and just stockpile these running backs, because you can catch lightning in the bottle. And even if you don't play these players, even let's say, for example, you've got a league where you're already sitting pretty. You've got McCaffrey and you've got Jacobs and you've got, a couple of other like Brian Robinson Jr. or Jerome Ford. And you've already got like four great running backs. You can trade them. You can strengthen the other areas where you might be weak, wide receiver, quarterback, because people are going to need these running backs. There aren't that many elite running back options. If you end up holding four, five, six of them, you're going to be in a very strong position in your league. Someone's just popped in with a question. Nana, I'm a bit concerned that Walker's style of running is not going to work. Is not going to work in tough matchups. There's so many plays where he runs 45 yards to gain five. Yes and no. You're right. He does tend to sort of bounce around the line of scrimmage a fair bit and go from one side to the other side to the other side. It does sort of happen. But having said that, what I look through is, first of all, he does have talent. He has a decent rushing yards over expected for the year. So he is actually progressing. It's a positive number. So he is actually obtaining positive yardage on plays. The second thing is, he has had tough matchups already. Carolina is not an easy matchup for running backs. He did very well in that one. And so he has demonstrated already that, I'm not saying he's matchup proof, but he is someone that I wouldn't necessarily be looking at and thinking, I can't start him because of a tough matchup. Considering there isn't, I think, 24 elite running backs in the NFL, for fantasy football, I find it very hard to drop Kenneth Walker to my bench at any point. Even if he's got a tough one, even if he's playing the Buccaneers, I would still, or the Eagles, I would still sit there and go, I'm probably still going to take my chance on Kenneth Walker, because I don't think that there is an alternative that's much stronger. Unless my bench is stacked. And if my bench is stacked, then that's different. Like, if you've acquired Kyren Williams and Jerome Ford, very different story. But most people will not be in that situation where they're sitting out a Jerome Ford or Kyren Williams every single week. But if you are, then happy days. You've played the game very, very well. So that's a bit on bench management. So right now, I'd be sitting there thinking, get your running backs, get those running backs I've mentioned, and add them, and try and add them now. Maybe even trade low for them if you don't have to give up too much. If you've got spare parts, like a spare wide receiver. So for me, Jahar Dotson would be perfect. I would sit here and quite happily trade Jahar Dotson for... I'd even probably propose Dotson for Dowdle, and that might not work. I can't see a scenario right now where I feel comfortable playing Jahar Dotson at any point. His targets per route run is extremely low. It's around about 14-15%. He's averaging 5.4 yards per touch. He's got no touchdowns on the season. That Washington offense, which keeps getting praise, doesn't look that good. Sam Howell, four interceptions at the weekend. I'm not sold that. We had a game on Sunday with the command. Yes, okay, they're against the Bills. That's a tough matchup. Good D. They threw the ball 86% of the time, and he still didn't come up with a stat line that was fantasy worthy. And that's not going to happen. They're not going to throw the ball 86% of the time every week. So if in a game that is 86%, 86.5% of the time they threw the ball, he still can't put up a fantasy relevant stat line. Yes, he's going to have the odd week where he's going to be fantasy relevant. He's going to be a low end wide receiver two, wide receiver three. But they're going to be the exceptions. They're not going to be the norm. So for me, trading someone like Jahar Dotson for a Dowdle, who might never play, I'm taking that risk because if something happened to Tony Pollard, I do win that trade. But on paper, it looks like the person I'm trading Jahar Dotson to is winning that trade. But you have to weigh up your personal risk and reward tolerance. And you have to weigh up your league, and you have to weigh up your scoring, and you have to weigh up your squad management. But there's an example of something I would potentially be thinking about doing to end up cashing out. Someone like Robert Woods. Decent floor play, definitely. No real ceiling play. especially now with Tank Dell's emergence, and I'll get on to that, I would be trading someone like Robert Woods for Rico Dowdle. It's another player that I'd be sitting there thinking, I can probably live without Robert Woods. I can probably find someone on the waiver wire to cover my bye weeks. Because there's no other point where you play. And if you've got a player who you haven't played in your starting lineup for the first 3 weeks, they're the sorts of players you want to think about trying to trade for a Zach Charbonnet, trying to trade for a Rico Dowdle, trying to trade for an Elijah Mitchell. Because if something happens, you will benefit. And if it doesn't happen and you haven't played that player through the first 3 weeks of the season, be honest with you. Are you genuinely going to play that player? Because if you're not going to play them, then why not trade them for a high... It's a risk play. But if you're not going to play them, the risk is almost zero. Because you're only going to cut that player anyway for someone else. So why not take a small risk and see what you end up with? It's the best piece of strategy advice I can give you. It may not work, probably won't work. But what if it does? You can go from potentially being middle of the pack to contending. You could be from contending to favorite with the right move. And if something happened to Tony Pollard, Rico Dowdle is, for me, the best handcuff running back that is widely available. Again, it's other handcuffs you can go for. But for me right now, Rico Dowdle is the guy who I think has... you have the most chance of obtaining via trade or via your waivers. He is the player who I think has the most upside. If you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I'd have said Jerome Ford. On every waiver wire, I talked about Jerome Ford. I went on a show for PFN. I talked about Jerome Ford. I said, you pick up Jerome Ford. I talked about it in the preseason. I talked about Jerome Ford a lot. And I'm not trying to, that's not me victory lapping. This isn't me going, look at me, I'm a genius. I told people to pick up Jerome Ford before Nick Chubb got injured. Because very much not the case. I do not want people to think that I wished an injury on Nick Chubb or that I'm victory lapping, because I'm not. It's just a strategy play that you end up looking for high in run first teams with high volume opportunities. Should there be an injury, a team suspension, as we saw with a Kareem Hunt a few years ago with the Chiefs. These are all situations that can occur. And so when you're looking at trying to win your league, these are the small edges that can potentially lead you to win a league. So don't leave these players unowned and don't leave them in your competition's hands. Try and trade for them. And if it doesn't work, and a lot of times I don't want them to work because obviously I like Tony Pollard. I want Tony Pollard to succeed. I want Nick Chubb to be good this season. But we are playing a game where there is a reaction and a consequence to these injuries. And that is where, why not have that opportunity to have those players on your bench should something happen? So that's all I'm saying. Not victory lapping, not wishing an injury. Very, very far from it. But what happens if? And that's what you've got to be prepared for. That's how good players win leagues. That's how leagues get won. They get won by being one step ahead. And so these are the critical positions you need to be thinking of. Another thing while I'm on running backs, I think for me this year has been the absolute worst when I look at ADP, but then also when I'm looking at projections week to week. Now, if you're somebody who set your lineup by your projections. So you look at the projections that Sleeper, NFL, Fantasy App, ESPN, Yahoo, Flea Flicker, whatever system you use. If you're setting your lineups by the projection numbers, I'm begging you, please do not. Please do not do it. The projection numbers this year are so, so, so bad, especially at the running back position. The amount of times I've seen people not play Brian Robinson Jr. Now, I know he didn't have a good week last week. Game script, everything else went the wrong way. The first 2 weeks, I saw the amount of times I saw Brian Robinson Jr. on a bench, and I've been telling people for months, Brian Robinson Jr. is going to start. He is the starter. He is going to have the majority of the work. Going into this week, he was a top three running back in the in fantasy football before week three. I didn't think that would happen, but at the same point, projections are wrong. I don't know how they're getting to these numbers in these stats, but they're not good this year. They're really, really not good. And there is an edge to be had. Because if the rest of your league is using the projections to set their lineups, not only are they not going to get an optimal number, but they're going to sit very, very good players. I don't know why, but there is an advantage to be had. If you're following analysts that you trust and analysts that you like, and you're looking at their rankings and you're asking the questions and you're finding out why, there are edges to be had, especially at the running back position. Talked about Ryan Robinson Jr. He's been an edge all season. Yes, last week was bad. Bad games happened. And it wasn't even him who had a bad game. It's just the game script went completely the wrong way. Washington, as I mentioned, threw the ball 86.5% of the time. Not going to happen again. But there are edges to be had with these projections. Some of them have been very, very, very bad. They seems to be, even when they're updating them, they're not updating them for, they're like using a rest of season algorithm. So there's edges on certain players. Devon Achane is probably one right now that you could probably argue should start next week. But if you look at his projections, I bet it's only somewhere between 8 and 11 points. I reckon it should be higher, depending on the league format, of course. There's players like, but then it goes the other way. It's players like Chris Godwin at the moment who are, and you know, this is one I got wrong and I'm going to eat this L, that I thought Chris Godwin would be far more effective than Mike Evans this year. And I said, well, he's the only one in Tampa I want because they go throw the ball short. It's going to go a lot to Evans. That hasn't happened. I'll eat that. I got that one completely wrong. See, I'm not one that's just going to sit here and talk about all my success stories. I got Chris Godwin so far quite wrong. And there's going to be a few L's I'm going to take as I go through the next segment. But his number projection, he's not met that at any point this season. The volume, the target volume has not been there. They're really force feeding and trying to get the ball to Mike Evans. To the point now with Chris Godwin in quite a lot of leagues is probably a sit. Might be a better fit this week against New Orleans. But again, this is where the projection numbers are just so off because they've looked, I don't know if they've made the corrections from what we're seeing. And we're now 3 weeks in. There are enough trends. There is enough data there to be looking at these trends, to be looking at projections. And to say, these are right, these are wrong. But they're edges to be had. And especially, just do not, please, the best advice, if you only listen to one piece of advice, and I feel like I've gone quite strategy heavy in this podcast so far. If I can give you one piece of advice, the one piece of advice I give you is, don't play off the projections. And I've said this so many times, but this year in particular, they're very, very, very bad. They are, Stocks is joining. The projections are very bad. Very, very, very bad. Do not set your lineup off projections. Sense check it. Sense check it off analysts. Even if you just use the Fantasy Pros ECR, just something. Just sense check it. Because I'm sorry, they are really bad this year. And if that's how you set it off, you're going to be in trouble. So that's one for you. If you're 0-3 and all you've done is set your lineup through projections, I'm not surprised. So yeah, just sense check. Just look at those projections and just sit there and think about your team. Go with your gut. Go with your gut. It's your team. Go with your gut. And, you know, if you're struggling to set your lineup, I've talked about the Patreon. Patreon.com/5YardRush. £1 a month, you join the WhatsApp group. The WhatsApp group is the best way to get hold of me, right? I'm going to answer questions in the WhatsApp group as close to kickoff as I can. I have a kid, dinner time, things like that. But I'm going to do my best to answer questions as close to kickoff. Preferably, I like them much earlier, but whatever. And everyone in that group will tell you that I will answer questions and answer them pretty quickly. It's the single quickest way for me to answer a question. I have people that ask me questions, and I talked about this first few weeks of the season, have asked me questions via Twitter. Don't engage in the content. And I can tell because you asked me a question and I've talked about it and you haven't. And then you're asking me a question that's the same and I've given the answer on one of these shows. And I think, well, if you're not watching the shows and if you're not listening to the podcast, and I've already talked about, I don't feel obliged to answer again. I just don't. I really don't. Because I feel like I've talked about it. If you're not going to engage and listen to them, and I get it. People are busy. Podcasts are busy. But at the same point, if I've sat there and I've given an answer to something already and you haven't picked up, that's not my, I don't have time to go through all the questions I get on Twitter if I feel like I've already answered it before, or if I feel like it's just a simple start this player over this player. My rankings are public. They're on the 5-Air Rush website. Go to weekly rankings, 5airrush.co.uk. You can see all my rankings. I update them a lot on Sunday with all the outs and everything. I do my best to keep them as up to date as possible. Sometimes on a Saturday, I don't. You know, Saturday for me is the hardest day. I like to analyze the news. So I do an update on Friday, on pretty much Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Kind of leave Saturday, let it all percolate, and I'll update Sunday morning, and then I'll go from there, especially when I'm writing my content for Pro Football Network. So have a look there, and you'll see all of that. So we've covered off strategy. We've talked about bench management. We've talked about the projections are wrong. They're kind of the really big thing. And I've talked about some surprising trends, but the things I've learned, these are, are that bench management. The RBs are going to be key to you winning your league this year. It's a good year for zero RB, it seems, if you pick the right players and compared to those at the top. Having said that, there is some other, there is the efficiencies to be had, and that's done on the waiver wire. So do that now. Add those players I mentioned. Ignore the projections to a degree. Not good this year. Do your own sense checking. Go through it all. Go through your start sets. Join the Patreon. You can ask me directly. Happy to pick them up. And again, talk about the Patreon one more time. I'm going to mention it. The Patreon cast is everything. I do it once a week. I go through every game and I talk about every relevant trend from that game. And sometimes I say, it's the same story. And I don't give that because there's not much to say. So I don't need to go over things too much. But it's about 45 minutes to an hour. But they're highlighting the trends. They're telling you, I'm telling you about players who trending upwards and players who are trending downwards based on usage. And I'm saying, bad week this week, but don't worry, the peripherals are good. Or bad week this week, peripherals are really bad. I'm concerned. And I'm going to talk about, in this show, this flagship show, I'm going to highlight a few trends every week, but I'm not going to do them all. And because one, it's an entire podcast in itself. And two, I do that. That is what the Patreon cast is. So tune in there. You can get that. You can get that on there. Stocks is joining. And so I'm a bit reluctant to kick off the next segment without him. But I tell you what, though, I will do, which is just talking about those statistical trends. And I'll keep it to Devon Achan while I'm waiting for Stocks, because we've talked about him quite significantly in this show. And I've talked about the fact that, he's someone that I'm slightly concerned about from a high ceiling perspective, but he's a must own. He's a player that you must have, but not at all costs. So the usage wise is really, really interesting this week. So he actually got 6 of the 8 touches that the Miami Dolphins had inside the 10 this week. And that's really interesting to me that he had that kind of usage. Hello, Stocks.
Hey.
How you doing?
Yeah, good. Sorry. Apologies for my tardiness.
That's all right, my friend. I thought we'd kick off. We've just got to the part where we're talking about statistical trends we need to monitor. And I was just talking about Devon Achan. I've talked about him a bit already about how I wouldn't have gone all in on the fab on him, how this was the best performance we're going to see from him all season. You still got Mostert. You've still got Jeff Wilson Jr. to come back next week, potentially, into this. So it could be a three-headed monster. It could all be a bit messy. So I was saying worth, if you spent fab on him and you got him 20-25% of fab, I was okay with that. If you spent all your fab on him, I'd be concerned. But it might work out. You don't know. But I'm trying to give some hope that 6 of the 8 team touches inside the 10 went to Achan. So there might be this path for Achan to be the goal line back going forward, because he was very, very good and efficient in that zone. And at the end of the day, the team aren't going to ignore the 233 yards he put up. But again, Jalen Waddle's to come back this week. He's cleared the concussion protocol, so we know he's going to play. So I think they will pass the ball more, which means I think they'll run the ball less. and then they're sharing it. It's not like Mostert had a bad game. You know, he ran four touchdowns in for himself and 150, 160, 70 yards, whatever it was. So it's good that Achane, if you're an Achane owner, got touches inside the 10. That's clear signal that they're going to be doing that more often. But just be wary that the environment in which they put up 70 points, that's not going to happen again. So I don't think you're going to see this supreme performance again from Achane.
I think, because of how big his performance was, you probably had to spend a fair amount of your fab on him if you wanted him. I don't know whether you've already said that or not, but it's one of those, you know, recency bias things. We see gold and we need to buy it, right? It's counterintuitive size and what he did in college. You know, he wasn't that goal line back at Texas A&M. He did everything and he did it well, but he wasn't that hammer, and rightly so, because he is so small. So whether or not he gets enough production from, like you say, from just those goal line back touches, whether it will be worth the expenditure on Fab. If you got him last week for cheap because you thought there was a potential against what appears to be the non-defensive Broncos, then, you know, well done. But I think in the leagues I'm in, I think there's quite a bit of Fab drops on him because of that performance. But
yeah,
We only tend to see the shiny thing in front of us, don't we? We don't take into consideration that extra bit, which is what you were just saying. And
yeah. And so, you know, what I was talking about before you came on was who's next. If there's a situation that pops up, who's next? So I talked about Rico Dowdle is the guy I want to own everywhere now, because he's the guy you can get for nothing. And if something happens to Tony Pollard, for me, excuse me, Tony Pollard's role is probably the most attractive of all the running backs in fantasy football right now, other than Christian McCaffrey's. But I think when Christian McCaffrey, if he was to go down, Elijah Mitchell would be the big beneficiary. And I've talked about that, someone you should add now, but he will split that role with probably somebody else. There'll probably be a couple of players who would be but potentially involved in that role, and it'll be almost like a committee, because that's what's happened when they've lost their lead back.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Dowdle picks up a huge, the fact there's no other running back playing, not getting snapped this week. It was 87% or 86% Pollard, and the rest was Dowdle, and no other running back got a snap. Says that Dowdle's going to be the big beneficiary. You know, you're looking at who potentially is behind Kyren Williams. We don't really know, because there isn't a back. Kyren Williams played 100% of snaps this week, which is just bonkers. They're the guys you want to chase. Sean Tucker in Tampa. Zach Charbonnet, but he's owned in over 40% of the leagues. These are the players that you want to be potentially trying to pick up and anticipating if there's a situation change, whether that's through injury or usage. So you're right. You can't get Achane anymore. He's owned in, I don't know, 70, 80% of leagues, because, you know, we've missed the boat. But it's the week before, it was Jerome Ford. The week before that was week one, seems so long ago, I can't even remember.
Puka Nacua would have been week one.
Puka Nacua, yeah. But Josh Kelly was a big one. Josh Kelly was the running back that people were spending a lot of money on. And people are now discarding Josh Kelly. I'm not. A little concerned that he's not really made the most of the Austin Eckler vacancy that's been there. But, you know, he's dropped in some leagues. I picked him up for like a fab. I've picked him on one or two fab bucks. I'm like, hey, I'll stop piling him. I'll see if he goes back to being efficient when Eckler's there. And they dual-headed it and there's a role there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Achane. Look, I spent quite a lot of time talking about Achane, but it's just interesting. I'm just saying, don't put all your eggs in on Achane. I've talked about this one already about Andy Dalton and the Panthers offense. And that just don't bank this week. Fine. If you've got feeling, if you've got Chark, fire them up. The volume's going to be there. But after this week, it's not going to be there. So don't sit there and assume that Adam Thielen is going to get 14 targets and DJ Chark's going to get 11 targets, because they've gone from throwing 31 targets to viable receivers. And again, the numbers are different. So if you looked up the games, if you looked up week one, Bryce Young threw the ball 38 times, but only 31 of those times went to in the vicinity of a receiver. The other seven would have been out of play, over the middle, was absolutely nowhere near anyone. So they can't attribute a target to anyone. So that's what, and with rookies, that's normal. Even with veterans, like, but Andy Dalton threw 58 passes, but they could attribute 57 to targets. So one, he's thrown out of play. That's more important. So those distinctions are really important because people go, oh, well, Young threw the ball 38 times and it's 58. But actually, it's how many to receivers? How many of them are viable targets? He takes seven off 38. That's quite a significant amount. That's 20% of the volume you're basically throwing away because they're not viable targets. They didn't go to anyone. No one was targeted. The ball went awry, went out of play, went over the top, went thrown out of the back of the end zone. So that's the number, is how many targets are going to the receivers or to a player. It doesn't have to be a wide receiver, just anyone ready to receive. It could be the linesman for all we know. So to go from 31, 31, 57, that's not going to, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen this week. I think it will drop a bit, but I still think that number might be in the 40s. So it'll be fine for Phelan. It'll be fine for Chark this week. But I do think when Bryce Young comes back, that number's dropping to the low 30s again. And that's the worry of owning. If you'd spent loads of fab on Adam Phelan, I'm really sorry. Because it's not.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Not what you do. Actually, I want to get your take on something before we kick on. I've already covered this, but actually I want to get your take.
Okay.
I think the projections in apps this year are really bad. Worse for me this year, especially at the running back position, potentially at the wide receiver position, than at any year I can remember playing. Do you think the same? Because I just think there's edges to be had, because I think some of the projections are...
Yes, I do. I haven't dived into it at all, but the projection I see going into, not so much Thursday nights, because that's only the one game night, and projections tend to be concentrated or expanded upon a Sunday when there's more players playing. It's a lot more obvious that it's incorrect. But when I see a team total going into a Sunday night compared to the team total coming out of Monday night football, there is a huge variance in what I see projected and what actually comes out. In one of my leagues, I've got a fairly competitive team. I've got a couple of injuries. And I think I am down on the projections in that league by about 30% every week.
Really?
Yeah, and this is all on Sleeper. I only play on Sleeper. I've got my, obviously, Scott Fish league. But, yeah, I think projections are... It feels to me like Sleeper are ceiling projecting and stuff is not as handsome as they project. And
well, so I think that's true in some cases, and I mentioned Chris Godwin's a great example of this, where they've massively ceiling projected him. He's not met that projection at any point. But I also think on certain players, they're very, very low. And there's no happy medium. There seems to be players that they are ridiculously low on that they shouldn't be, And there's players that are overinflated. Antonio Gibson, overinflated. Chris Godwin, overinflated. Najee Harris, overly inflated. Alexander Mattison, overly inflated. And then you look at other players, Brian Robinson Jr., massively undervalued. On NFL Fantasy this week in a league, standard PPR league, Devon Achane is at 8 points. That's ridiculous. That is so low. And I've just talked about he's not going to get this huge role. He's going to score more than 8 points in the PPR league this
week. Yeah. Do you...
I just think that's bonk. I get when they're questionable, like Saquon Barkley, I've seen 0 to 8 to 10 points. And I get it. When it's questionable, there's an algo. They mark points down. They're being conservative. I don't have a problem with questionable players. But when there's a player and they're so clearly undervalued, I just think it's bonkers. Like you said, Devon Achane, I could pull others. What were you about to ask?
I have forgotten that point. But even going into the season, Alexander Mattison was the lead back at the Vikings. We all knew he was going to be the lead back. It turns out he's not great at football. But he, as the lead back at the Vikings, he was projected in week one about 4 points. For the 4 weeks leading up to week one, he was just at 4 points. And You just think, like you said with Achane, whatever his name is now, until next week when he finishes
Achane,
it.
Yeah.
The projection, I wonder whether something has gone on somewhere and they're just basing these projections on either pre-season ADP
there's something going on. I mean, look, here's an example, right? Mike Evans, PPR league with Mike Evans, right? He's projected to score 10.91 fantasy points, right? 10.91 fantasy points. These are his fantasy points for the season. Week one, 18.6. Week two, 29.1. Week three, which wasn't a particularly good week for Mike Evans, he still scored 17 points. So we're projecting him to score 7 points.
Well, how many catches has he averaged?
Not many, 5 or 6. But he's a big yardage guy because he's a deep threat.
But what I'm saying is if he's averaged 5 or 6, you plug that in automatically, don't you? You just assume that Mike Evans is going to get 5 catches minimum a game. That's 5 points.
It's 6-6-5. 6-6-5. So he has 17 catches on the season. So, yeah, you could predict 5, you could predict 6. But, yeah, so 10.9, you're basically saying he's going to get 5 catches for 59 yards. Which Mike Evans has an A dot that is over 10. So that doesn't work. That's what I mean. It doesn't make any sense. I get you're not plugging him in for 15, but he should be around 13, 14 points for conservativeness. Yeah. He's playing in a dome, so the weather's not going to affect him. These are things I don't understand. Here's another one for you, right? So you have, DeAndre Hopkins has projected to score more points than Mike Evans. Mike Evans is currently the wide receiver 5 in PPR. DeAndre Hopkins is currently the wide receiver 46. And DeAndre Hopkins is projected to score nearly 11.71 fantasy points this week. He hit 13.5 in week one, 8 in week two, and 7.8 in week three. So we've got the wide receiver 45 projected to score a point more in PPR than the wide receiver 5, who has consistently gone over that projection. But I'm on my high horse now. I think there's an edge to be had, and that is just don't set by projections and hope that your opponents do, because as you say, they're either overinflated and people are going to put players in on overinflated projections, or they're underinflated and they're going to bench players that should start. And I think your edge is to not follow the projections. And look, the projections have never been, I'm not saying that we're expecting them to be accurate to within 10%. But I think this year they're just well off. I mean, as you said, you're talking 30%. I've got some projections that are off by 50, 60%. And I just think that's your edge. If you set by your projections, you're in trouble. Or you might fluke it. But I think more often than not, you're going to get really key stuff. If you're going on a start-sit decision and you're using the projection to make that start-sit decision, I think you're in the toilet. I think you're in real trouble. Because I think you could end up making the wrong choice. And if you've And if you set your sit by that, and then you go, I was really unlucky, I benched this player, and you use the projection to do that after listening to this, I don't want to hear you moan. So I'm telling you now, don't listen to projections.
Do you think the standard redraft player has historically based their start-sit decisions on projected points? So say you've got player A and player B on your team and you don't know who to choose, but player A's projection is higher. What percentage of redraft players do you think use that projection over checking rankings at website A or website B?
I think it's when in the week you set it up. So I think if, let's say, for example, I think early in the week, smart players, players who listen to this, players who invest time in fantasy football, so people who listen to this podcast, people who listen to any podcast, people who read fantasy content,
yeah,
are more likely to go off expert analysis, opinion, discussion than sleeper projections. But the scenario I'm painting is, it's 4:30 on a Sunday. A player is either unexpectedly out or is going to be in a reduced capacity. You need to make a start-sit decision. You don't have the time to look at rankings, or you don't have the time to look at a fantasy website with an hour to go, or 30 minutes to go, or 20 minutes to go, or even 5 minutes to go. So you're going to use the only number that's available to you, and that is the projection in sleeper, in NFL fantasy. And if that's the only method that you've got available to you in a short space of time, my advice to you is probably just go with your gut. Go with what you think is best, because I reckon what you think is going to be better than what the projection is going to spit out and say. If yeah, you don't have time to research anything else, go with, because what I don't want is people to sit here and listen and go with the projection and get it wrong and then moan that they got it wrong based on the projection. Because I just think, I'm telling you now, they're really bad. Like this year, for me, way, way worse than ever.
Mm.
So do you think
we should, do you think we should curb our reliance then on fantasy football apps' projection scores and ability to project well? Do you think this is an anomaly, or do you think they've changed what they do, and we should?
I just don't think they. I think what they do is it's season long projections, and they make small tweaks through the season to upcoming events, but it's not quick enough, and it doesn't take into the whole approach. And I don't think they're doing a weekly rank. I think they're doing a rest of season average. That's my guess. And they're averaging kind of points out, maybe some spike and low weeks, but the deviation isn't enough week to week, which makes me think it's an average number that with small variances of deviation versus a really detailed look into what the week is and making those adjustments to weather conditions, opponents ranking at the position. And again, 3 weeks in, those numbers are a little soft and a little bit jaggy, but because you might have played really good teams, you might be in a really tough division. You might play really bad teams. You might be in a really crap division, and you might have inflated numbers. And you really, those numbers don't really even out till about week 10, but at least there's some logic to it. I think my issue is, I think it's a fantasy player, and like you should just not pay attention to the projections at all. And it's a hard habit to get out of because those numbers are there. I'd love it if you could toggle them off. That for me would be something I would love, but appreciate that people want that. It's obviously an appetite to have those numbers. So I think a lot of players appreciate and want those numbers. And I think a lot more players that probably they're willing to admit use those numbers in some capacity as part of their decision-making process. Might not be the exclusive element of it, but they might have an element of it. And I think for me, the edges you're going to have are your non-reliance to those numbers by listening to podcasts. And listen, I don't get everything right. I don't get, you know, 80% of things right. I'm going to give you bad advice, but I'm also going to give you some good advice. And more importantly, we're going to give you the strategy to make your own decision. That's kind of the whole point of this, is we're going to give you the thinking. And then you might say, I don't agree with Murph's assessment or Stocks' assessment on the situation, but I see the logic. I know what to look for. I know the trends I'm picking out And actually, I'm going to read that situation differently, because there is an element of inference that you need when you're analyzing the data or analyzing the trend. You need to infer a certain situation. I've talked about Devon Achan, that in my opinion, Mostert and Wilson are not going away. Your inference to that might be he's the clear guy. That's the inference, right? And you can have a completely different opinion. All we're doing is presenting the information. I will give a conclusion. You can disagree with my conclusion. I'm not offended. I'm not right all the time. I'll be as wrong as the next guy, and that's fine. And if your situation, if you get to the right outcome for you from listening to this, even if you've gone against my conclusion, then it's the process has worked. That's the point of this. It's not, if I was to just sit here and just tell people what I think and they blindly followed, it would be a pointless exercise. And I think that's kind of the point, is draw your own conclusion, set your own lineups on your own convictions, whether that's just pure gut on what you're seeing on Red Zone. At least that's something. Like, I just think get to your own conclusion and own your process, whatever your process is. Own it. Don't rely on the projections, because I think if you're going to rely on the projections, the smart players in your league are going to eat you alive.
Yeah. I can't remember the actual phrase for it now, but it's this, the human nature thing of trusting everyone and trusting the information that's just in front of you. So when you, like you say, you see that projection, you just think, well, that must be what's going to happen, right? You know, they're plugged into the situation, whether they are or they're not. That's the information provided. So you blindly follow, and I think our aim should be to get players to be more responsible with their lineup setting and doing it slightly ahead of time. I get the 5 p.m. rush on a Sunday. I get the Thursday night before you go to bed lineup set. And Thursday nights aren't as important as the Sunday nights. You haven't got the whole slate. But when it comes to Sunday night, you know, you flick it on at 5 o'clock, you run through your teams, maybe add a kicker in that you've added on a Friday or a Saturday, and you have a look and they go, oh, that guy's projected more, I'll put him into my flex over somebody else. But I do think as well, there is an element of there is an element of laziness to the common fantasy football player. Because if you were an invested fantasy player, you've either got the Fantasy Pros app, you've got the Ballers app. You know, there's hundreds of apps out there now with weekly rankings and stuff. It doesn't take that long to search through a rankings list to see which player's above which. But when it gets to 5 p.m. on a Sunday because you've forgotten to do your lineup, you've almost done yourself a disservice by not checking ahead of time. But I'm not saying everybody needs to be an absolute fantasy degenerate and give up X, Y, and Z to make sure they're playing the best.
And life happens. But I think, so the practice I would say is I would set your lineups on a Wednesday and then have a quick review before you go to bed on the Thursday. So rather than having to set your whole lineup on a Thursday, you set them on a Wednesday. And then on Thursday, if there's been an update in news, you can change it then. And then you can look at it on Thursday and you can just make the tweaks if you need to make a tweak. So, for example, you might have not had David Montgomery in your lineup when you set it on Wednesday. You know today he's going to be the lead back, and we'll get onto injuries in a minute. So you know he's going to be the lead back tonight. So you'd probably start David Montgomery tonight, depending on who you've got in your roster. But if you're a bit thin at running back, you're probably starting David Montgomery, which you probably wouldn't have had him in your starting lineup yesterday. Mm-hmm. Same with Aaron Jones. You didn't know his status. You probably had him out. You know he's playing tonight. You're probably going to put him in your lineup tonight. And they're the quirks. But instead of having to set a whole lineup, you do tweak on a Thursday. Then what I would do is I would leave it on a Friday completely. Wouldn't touch the lineup. Let the news happen. Get to Saturday, maybe even Saturday night. Depends on how busy you are on a Saturday. Some people, it's kids during the day. You do it in the evening. Some don't have kids and probably are going to do it during the day because they're going to go out at night. Whatever your time, find some time on Saturday, just do a quick reset based on news and trends, and then do it again on Sunday. And then instead of having to go through a whole thing, you're looking at one or two players instead of having a whole team, instead of having a whole assessment. And then because each time you're building in a different check. So you're building in a check every single time. So if you're doing it, set a lineup Wednesday, you check on a Thursday, you check on a Saturday, you check on a Sunday, each time should only be a couple of minutes, if that. And then you go from there. That is a process that ideally I would follow. Sometimes it's a bit difficult with the amount of lineups I've got, but I do try. Sometimes I just set them all on a Thursday night and don't do the Wednesday, but it kind of just depends. But if I had, depends on the day and the time and place. But if you can do that, then do that. But I think you're right. I think part of it is apathy. And then I think the other part is this groupthink. It's this wanting to be right and viewed right by your league mates, by community, by Twitter / Elon Musk's playground or whatever platform, Facebook. And people send out and they want to be right and they want to follow the groupthink and they want to see people's overall feelings. And they put a tweet out or send a message to an analyst and they want that confirmation. And then they want to see people, they want their decision making validated through some form of validation. Yeah. And I think sometimes people are too scared to engage with others and therefore use projections as their validation tool. And I think sometimes they go to an analyst they trust and they ask them and then they get their validation that way, which is, for me, a more preferred method, especially if it's someone you trust. But there is that propensity to people who put it online and do a poll and then use groupthink to make that decision. And I think that could almost be as dangerous as the projections. Because, yes, groupthink, majority, all of that, fine. But what if, you know, a narrative takes off? And we've seen it in fantasy football so many times where a narrative takes off and you end up following the trends of everybody and then you lose your edge. If you're just doing what everybody else does, where's your edge? Where is your edge in your team to win a league if you just do what everybody else does?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a luck league. It's not a skill league. It's a luck league. You're basically fully dependent on luck because you're just going to do what everybody else does. You're going to follow the same patterns of everybody else. You're going to follow the same trends as everybody else. And what happens is you follow. And eventually there'll be someone who comes out of the pack who is the leader, who makes the edge decisions, those 5% moves. That'll be the difference between winning and losing a league. And I think I've been giving this advice in the Patreon chat all week to all different questions that fortune favors the brave. You've got to make brave moves and brave decisions. An example I gave earlier in the show, Stocks, before you joined, was I'd be trading Jahan Dotson for Rico Dowdle. And on the surface of it, that sounds bonkers. But I don't think Jahan Dotson's doing anything. I don't really like his situation to do much better than he is. And I don't think people realistically can feel comfortable putting him in a starting lineup right now. Nor do I think they're going to be much often except for maybe a bye week. Whereas by trading him to the Rico Dowdle owner, yes, Rico Dowdle might not play more than 17% of snaps in any point of the season. But if Tony Pollard gets injured, and he has been injured before, you have got probably the best handcuff in fantasy football on your roster.
Yeah.
And you're shooting for the moon. So you're trading a player who you're probably not going to play or you don't feel comfortable playing most weeks. And it might not be Jahan Dotson. He's just a player that comes to my mind. But you might have a player on your bench who you have no comfort in playing. And you feel, actually, he's worth more than Rico Dowdle. I can ship him, get Rico Dowdle. And I might never play Rico Dowdle. But what if that situation happens and Rico Dowdle's the next man up in Dallas?
Yeah.
He's going to be a bona fide high-end RB2 with RB1 upside.
Yeah.
And it's going to be far more valuable than the player you're trading.
It's the same thing with Jerome Ford, isn't it?
Like, yes, it is.
No one was ever going to play him. No one's going to start him. But to have him in a time where running backs seem to be getting injured more often than not was an upside play. And there you have it. You've got yourself a running back. And it's the same thing as when we first talked back in the start of week one. You know, we talked about Jerome Ford. I said, pick up Puka Nacua because he's a deep sleeper. And hello. I mean, it was fluke. But we suggested the name. And at that point, it was either roster a second defense or a second kicker or a tight end you were never going to play or pick up Ford or Nacua. or even Tutu Atwell. You know, we joked that he was even smaller than Nacua, and the guys are on record pace for receptions. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the upside shot is a far better shot than that safe straight through the middle arrow that doesn't do anything.
I think that's the key is take risks. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But at least you can hand on heart at the end of the season say, I did everything I could to try and win. And I'm always all right with that. I'm always all right with the aggressive play that doesn't work because there's logic and there's reason behind it.
Yeah.
It's when you don't take that risk. It's when you don't make that edge. Because it's those edge plays that are the difference between winning and losing. That's why I'm saying roster as many of these running backs as you can right now. When you don't need the backup quarterback, when you don't need a backup tight end, and if you're rostering a kicker and a defense on your bench, and it's not dynasty, then I can't help you. I can't help you. Like those have to go.
It's that point of the season as well where if you drafted well, then the risk at this point in the season should all be on the bench. Your starting lineup should almost be set and forget with limited risk at the moment because you drafted well. And I know we don't always all draft well when we're a bit worried here and there and we have our flex plays that move based on matchup or whatever. But you're running back one, as long as they're not injured. You're running back two, as long as they're not injured. Your wide receivers at this point, unless it's Cooper Kupp, are probably the guys you drafted in the first 7-8 rounds because you drafted them to be your starters. So your risk at the moment should be shots in the dark based on potential high upside as opposed to a bench full of nothing for that bye week 9 or week 13 that you know you've got coming up.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think as well, there's going to be players on your roster whose ceiling is completely evaporated. Players like Garrett Wilson, you know, they're players that if you can try and get something for them now and you can find that player who overvalues that player or wait to the week where they have an exceptional week that they hit the ceiling, then cash out, find a week. And people think, I'm not going to trade him because he's a second round player. He's no longer a first of all, ADP goes out the window the moment the draft ends. It doesn't matter. Second thing, it's a sunk cost. Third thing, even if we were to reevaluate those players today, he won't be drafted in the second round. Mm-hmm. Like if we were to do a fantasy football draft today, Garrett Wilson's a sixth round pick at best, maybe lower.
Well, it's like you do a draft now. Who's the first Denver Broncos wide receiver pick? Marvin Mims. I'm taking Marvin Mims as the first Denver Broncos wide receiver out of the three.
I disagree with you, but there you go. We'll cover that in a minute. Why?
Okay.
But he'd be my second. I'd have him over Judy, which says a lot. I'm glad you jumped on because I think that's a really good discussion point. Again, facting on strategy, it's been a very strategy heavy pod, but it's good because I think we're at that stage now where we can course correct in situations that we might have not done very well in the draft or roster management and take advantage of drafts by really shooting for high risk, low risk, high reward plays is what I'm going to call them. Low risk, high reward. If Rico Dowdle doesn't pan out, you're not losing much to acquire him now and get him, but he could go to the moon. And if he goes to the moon, you might win a ship off the back of him. You might not. Yeah. It might not happen, but I'm taking that shot. Some trends I want to go through. Talked about Devon Achane. I'll rattle through a couple of these and then we'll pick up some injuries. Zach Ertz, who I've mentioned, you should be picking up off waiver wires. Just hold fire a little bit. His routes went down to 67% this week. He ran 94% in week one, 75% in week two. I will caveat by saying that because the Cardinals were winning for the majority of that game, which they shouldn't have won against the Cowboys, on paper, they only threw the ball 21 times. That could be a reason why his routes went down, his targets went down, and he had two targets. So just keep an eye on that trend. Just be a little cautious to it. But it doesn't look quite as rosy for Zach Ertz owners as it did 2 weeks ago. Rashee Rice, for me, is the wide receiver in Kansas I want to own. 51% of routes, which is a season high. But he had two catches at the one-yard line, which is good. So he looks like he's going to be the red zone threat, which is nice. And also 36%, targets per route run so far in the season. So why that's important, fantasy fans, is it doesn't matter how many routes you run. And a great example in that offense is Marcus Valdes-Scantling. Marcus Valdes-Scantling, outside of Travis Kelce, runs the most routes on the Kansas City Chiefs. Has done all season. When Travis Kelce wasn't there, he was running even more routes. He's running in somewhere between the mid-80s to the low 90% of routes. So on most plays, MVS is out there. Go look at his target numbers. They're minuscule. As in, he's only getting targeted once or twice a game. So it doesn't matter how often you're out there. It's when you're out there, do you get the ball? Or are you being looked at to have the ball thrown to you? Targets don't mean receptions, but you have to earn targets. So when Rashee Rice is out there, a third of the time, he is being thrown the ball. That's massive compared to MVS, who's like 8% or 7%. So it's not about who is... So people chase yards, people chase touchdowns. What people don't chase enough is targets. And even though Rashee Rice's target volume, I think it was like 7 this week, it doesn't seem on the whole of it high. If his number of routes run is increasing every week and he's getting more targets every week, which means if he ends up to a full complement of 80, 90% of routes, he's going to get 10-ish targets because that's what the projections are saying on his level trending upwards. So for me, if I had to pick a receiver I want in that Kansas City offense, it is Rashee Rice, followed very closely by Sky Moore. I'm not interested in Tony. I'm not interested in MBS or Justin Ross or anyone else is in that offense. It really is those two receivers. And I'd put Rashee Rice first because he is the one trending upwards. Sky Moore's kind of been there or thereabouts. It's been consistent. But Rashee Rice, it's like your Marvin Mims situation. Marvin Mims is trending upwards. He's a guy you want to own. And you want to get in now before he puts the real big stat line up. And then you can't get him or you face huge competition to get him. Jaylen Warren, 47% of routes run, so he's almost 50-50 with Najee Harris. That's a big concern for me, that they could be a 1A, 1B situation coming there. It's not quite there yet on touches, but Harris, you know, 30% of routes is really, really, like, so on the number of snaps he played, he only ran routes 30% of the time. That's quite low for Najee Harris. It's a season low. That's quite bad. And then the commentary talking about the fact that Warren is being involved more, and it appears that there's plays set for him in the playbook, and they talked about this repeatedly. That's a worry for me. So I'm just, if I'm a Najee Harris owner, now might be a decent time to sell, because you might not get that opportunity in a couple of weeks' time. Tutu Atwell, I've talked about him a fair bit in the past, but he got leaned on massively when the Bengals tried to take Nakua away. So Nakua ended up with, I think, 7 targets in this game because the Bengals just basically took him out of the game, and it was Atwell that was getting them. But I also think Atwell's role is set now. I think even if you bought Cooper Kupp back in, Atwell, for me, is the one who's not going to be affected. I don't know if you agree or disagree on that.
I haven't seen enough Rams football to agree or disagree. But I think what it proves is that we've seen in the past, it's Cooper Kupp and that's it. Whereas this shows that the Rams are willing to deviate from their single receiver. And I don't know whether that's because Cooper Kupp is elite, so they feel that they can feed him in situations that might not necessarily be, well, let's throw it to, you know, even if Atwell, if Cooper Kupp's double coverage but has a chance to win the ball, are they still going to play that pass to Nakua or Atwell? Probably not because of Cooper Kupp's skill set. But it does show the Rams are sensible enough to move off their quote-unquote wide receiver one at the moment in Nakua when Atwell's capable of taking the load when someone's taking the Lincoln Nakua's out of the play. So if Atwell is playing enough in a position that isn't affected by the return of Kupp, then yeah, he's going to be.
And he's not. So I think for me, yeah, he'll see a volume decrease if they keep force feeding the ball to Kupp. But we've seen those games where Nakua's have 15, 20 targets and Atwell's still getting 8 or 9. And I think for me, Atwell's role is pretty cemented in this team. Nacua is the one I see going downwards a little bit if Cup's back. It's talk of Cup being back in week five. So for me, going forward, Atwell is the receiver I'm quite comfortable owning, simply on the fact that I think his role is a season-long role. And I'm not saying he's a wide receiver one or like rest of the season, but I think he's going to have wide receiver 1 week, wide receiver 2 weeks, and I think he somewhere sits between that wide receiver 20, wide receiver 30 range for the rest of the season. And I think it's a pretty cemented role. So I want that guy on my roster. Couple more bits. Sam Laporta, really exciting early usage. 5 catches in each of his first 3 games. He had 12 targets on the weekend. 41% targets per route run, which is massive. So 40%, 41% of the time, 4 out of 10 times, he's being targeted when he's on the field, which is just stupid when he runs a route. If you're looking for a buy low wide receiver candidate, Wandale Robinson is probably available in almost all leagues right now. So he returned on Thursday Night Football, and I know that the 49ers got absolutely just destroyed the Giants, and the Giants seem to be like quite easy fodder this year. But having said that, Wandale Robinson, he only ran 9 routes, but he was targeted on 5 of those. So again, it's not about necessarily how many routes you run, it's how frequently you're targeted. And if you think he's just returned from injury, he's going to run more than 9 routes. If he's going to see, so it's 56%, it's not going to stay that high. But if he goes in that 30% targets per route run, he's going to be the volume hog in New York.
Yeah.
So in a PPR league, in a standard league, ignore this. In a PPR league, he's going to have a very safe floor that he, if he's going to get double-digit targets. He's not going to put amazing stat lines up, but he is going to squeak your 10 fantasy points in a week. And that there's a role and a viable option to that, so you can buy him low. I was going to talk about Courtland Sutton in the sense of I see his role now as the new Michael Thomas. In that offense, I'm just talking because it's Peyton. I'm not saying he's Michael Thomas. I'm saying because it's Sean Payton, follow the linkage here. It's Sean Payton. He likes to have a slant boy. That slant boy in this offense is going to be, and it already is, Courtland Sutton. Courtland Sutton's A dot is now down to, it's under 10. It's 9.6. He's getting the most targets. He's seemingly going to play that slant role. So Judy out wide is the one getting hindered with targets. His role, especially now you've got Marvin Mims making plays. I talked about this on the Patreon cast. You'll like this, Stocks. The 10 most explosive plays from scrimmage, most yards from scrimmage plays this season, Marvin Mims has racked up the top 4 and 8 of the top 10. How many times do you reckon Marvin Mims has touched the ball this season?
Probably that amount.
12. 8. So he's touched the ball 12 times. He's got 8 of the top 10 plays from scrimmage.
There you go.
7 receptions and 5 kickoff returns.
It's not a lot. There's not a lot of volume. But the reason I'd take him over Courtland Sutton is I think he's got Courtland Sutton doesn't score touchdowns. I think he's got. I know he scored last week. Did he score 1 or 2? He only scored 1 last week, and then he had one called back. I think.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that was his maybe 3rd touchdown for the Broncos in his career.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe a bit more, but yeah, it's not many more.
I would bet a reasonable amount he scored 3 in his internal history for the Broncos, that being his 3rd the weekend. Or 3 or under. I'll take the 3.5 under, please.
Well, if it makes you feel better, first of all, you're miles off. First of all, I didn't realise that he came into the league in 2018.
Yeah, he's old. How many has he scored?
Well, he scored 2 this season.
Okay.
He scored 16 in his career.
No, he has not.
He scored 10 in his first 2 years.
College doesn't count.
No, no, no. 2018, 4 touchdowns. 2019, when he put up a 1,000-yard season, he scored 6 touchdowns. He scored none in 2020, but he only had 3 receptions for 66 yards, so he was out the whole season. So, and then he's average. So, 21-22, he had 2 touchdowns in each season, and then 2 already this season.
Where have I got that information? It was I've misread or heard that somewhere terribly. I can only apologise. But yeah, I don't think I still want Mims, is my point.
No, I agree with you. And we've been talking about Mims a lot on this show, that Mims is a player. I talk about him in the waiver wire show every week, that he's a player you have to add because it's trending that way and it's trending higher level of snaps, targets. Everything's going in the right direction for Mims. Joe Judy's the one that I think is losing out. And you said that before the season. You said you worried about Jerry Judy's position on this team.
Yeah.
So you were spot on.
The reason I worried about Jerry Judy's position is because I thought Sutton had the opportunity to be more of the guy that he currently is. Whereas I think there was talk, you know, it's basically Broncos off-season chat where there's a wide receiver, one of the good wide receivers on the team's getting traded, and it's every year, and it turns out neither did, but we drafted Mims. And yeah, it's worked out somewhat how you thought it was going to. It's just, it's unfortunate for the Judy owners, and it was a messy situation at the beginning of the season. It's not by any looking going to get any better. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Last trend for me is Kendra Miller did absolutely naffle. So it looks like Alvin Kamara is going to walk into a workhorse role because Jamal Williams is on IR. Tony Jones is not it. Like, he'll have a goal line role, but he's not going to be any more than that. And Kendra Miller is certainly not the answer to any of their problems. I'd be cautious about starting Kamara this week against the Buccaneers in that run defense. But I think going forward, you're going to see quite a good volume from Kamara. So these concerns about they signed Jamal Williams, they were going to have issues. He's getting older. He's nearly 29, the suspension, all these things. Now looks like it's a relatively good situation now that he's out of suspension. So if you drafted him in the 9th round, it might pan out for you. It might pan. We don't know. He's not taking a snap this season, but I'm projecting from what I see that he's in for a pretty big role because he's got absolutely naffle competition behind him. What he does with that yardage is the next question, but he should be in line for a good 15, 20 touches a game.
And it's still Alvin Kamara. Like, he's one of the...
But yeah.
Yeah, but he's also been in committees, which, you know, he's not had the Jonathan Taylor 300 snaps a season workload. True. He's been in committees, you know. It's one of those things where he's getting old, yes. He hasn't touched the ball as many as workhorses backs have. And he's in a system he knows. And I've have so much Alvin Kamara stashed on my benches. I cannot wait. I can't tell you how excited I am for the possibility of potentially Alvin Kamara's return to at least mid running back two, if not running back one, just to the lack of running backs available at the moment.
Couldn't agree. I think he's going to be RB2. I think it's safe to say he's RB2, and especially with what's going on right now, you'd be quite happy with that. So yeah, I think solid role. It's locked in. You should feel pretty good about it. So, anything else you want to add?
I would like to apologize for jumping on late and extending this pod to nearly an hour and a half, but A, I don't care, and B, it was worth it. So, there you go.
No, it was good. You broke up my monotony.
Having trouble at the moment with, I think with the culmination of him getting older, bedtime, because Hunter's always been a 12-hour sleeper, so. You know, he's getting older, so he's dropping a little bit of that sleep. So the 7 o'clock bedtime is being pushed a bit, culminating with school, starting school, and him now being knackered and overtired by about 4:10. It's just is making it a bit more harder for me to get out of his room on time with them. And so, but we'll sort something out. But yeah, I'm pleased I came on and managed to point out some bits from what I had planned to say anyway.
Nice. See, that's the way it works. It's always what happens. And you didn't hear me drone on for an hour, which is good. But I feel it. I think what I like about this pod, especially this week, is there's a lot of actionable insight to take away. And I feel like listeners are going to benefit from that strategy wise, thought wise, and things to take away and think about, which I think if we can walk away and give people something to think about and to do, I think we're doing our job. So, and also, if you disagree with absolutely everything that we've said, please let us know, because it's a conversation at the end of the day. And I'd like to have that conversation, because I like to learn. I like people to challenge me, to tell me that they don't think my opinion is good, or they disagree with my assessment of a situation. And that's how you get to the right answer. You have all the opinions on the table, and then you use them to amalgamate to come to a conclusion that we hope is the right one. So, yeah, get in touch at Merv underscore NFL. I love strategy questions. They're ones I will probably always answer. So, yeah, get in touch there. Talk about the Patreon. I did a small Manscaped read at the top, but do you want to do another one?
I mean, if you've covered it, we just shout out Manscaped, say how good their stuff is. You know, it's every week, if you've got a beard, you're trimming it, unless you are either a Viking and you have no time for that stuff as you're out pillaging, or be a little bit lazy. But today's modern world, keeping that beard fresh is, you know, on point and a must. So head over to Manscaped. I think it's either 4 or 5 trimmers they've got now. So it is literally head to toe, got you covered. If you're a cyclist, you can use it on your legs, keep them smooth, to get that aerodynamics. If you've got a beard, keep it trimmed. If you've got a date, keep it trimmed. Whatever you need, they've got something to keep it trimmed and fresh. So yeah, Manscaped, 5 yard, code is 5 yard, Murph. That's right.
Five yard.
Yeah, there we go. 20% off and free shipping wherever you are in the world. So if it's even a Christmas present, if you're a female and you're listening to your male other half, hook them up with some cheaper Manscaped stuff. They'll thank you, and you get thanked in the process. So
absolutely, because your beard is on point at the moment, my friend.
Well, the neck's a little weak, but yeah, the top's, it's doing well. I'm pleased with it. It's at that happy length where she's not moaning at me, and it's long enough that I don't feel I haven't got one, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So yeah, Manscaped's keeping me looking right there, if nothing else. So yeah.
So check out Manscaped. Check out all the work we're doing. As I said, the 5 yard site, loads of great articles on there, loads of great strategy points on there. You can also check out my rankings on there. You can check out the FFCC latest contests and latest updates, including including the Intercontinental Plate, which is a new side to this year. So do check out all the latest scores. They are up to date as it stands right now. Good luck to all of you in week 4. And check out the Patreon, as we mentioned. But I think that'll do it, mate.
Absolutely. Public service announcement. Don't forget, there's a game in London this Sunday, so it starts at 2:30. So get your lineups done early, because that will catch people out. I should have said that as soon as I came on, because 1 hour and 30 minutes in, people might not listen. But if you're not listening to the whole thing, maybe you should. If you are watching, also if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like, hit the subscribe button, so you know when we are always live. But Rush Nation, until next week, don't forget, keep rushing.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.